Coming up on KUCB News, why were those two Japanese boats passing through on Alaska? And what are the reigning race times for the Ballyhoo Mountain Run? Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, July 19th, 2018. Unalaska welcomed two Japanese-flagged vessels to port this week, one devoted to Arctic research, the other connected to controversial commercial whaling. The first is the Ashoro Maru No. 5, a research vessel for Hokkaido University's School of Fisheries Sciences. Professor Tor Hirawake is the chief scientist on board.
This ship is a training ship. There are many students choosing the many kinds of the science.
During the two-month trip, Hirawake says students conducted oceanographic and fisheries surveys in the Bering and Chukchi Seas. They took water samples, trawled for plankton and fish specimens, and monitored for marine debris. They even collected a few jellyfish for an aquarium in Osaka. So, why do Japanese researchers want to learn about the Arctic? Hirawake says climate change is a global issue.
Arctic Ocean is now very hot place to investigate by all countries, including the Asian countries.
He says the changing environment will have an impact on Japan, even though it's not an Arctic nation. For example, he says Japan relies on Alaska seafood, including walleye pollock exported from Unalaska.
We are now using such a big amount of their food from the United States. So this climate change and the sea ice decline is not only the problem of the Arctic countries, but also the problem of the Asian countries.
Meanwhile, Hirawake says the Ashoro Maru is not associated with the other Japanese vessel in port recently. That was the Yushin Maru No. 2, one of a five-ship whaling fleet operated by the Japanese government. Despite a 32-year international ban on commercial hunting, the vessels harvested more than 300 whales this spring in the name of ecological research. For years, critics have questioned the validity of that science and reported that the whale meat is sold commercially. This week, however, the Yushin Maru was not passing through on a hunt. KUCB was unable to connect with the vessel for an interview, but according to a Japanese press release, it's in the middle of a Bering Sea survey for the International Whaling Commission. On a similar trip last year, researchers caught a rare glimpse of two North Pacific right whales and were able to take pictures and a biopsy sample. Both the Ashoro Maru and the Yushin Maru left Unalaska on Monday afternoon. After ducking jail time for a decade, a Texas man was finally taken into custody last week on an outstanding Unalaska warrant. David Barksy was sentenced to 70 days in prison in 2008 after he was found guilty of assaulting a law enforcement officer. He never showed up to serve his time, but on Friday, state troopers found the 40-year-old during a routine check of a commercial fishing boat in Bristol Bay. Troopers arrested Barksy on the Naknek River and took him to the King Salmon Jail for arraignment. Unalaska court officials say he'll be moved to the Anchorage Jail to serve his sentence. The annual Ballyhoo Mountain Run is this Saturday, inviting Unalaskans to conquer the island's iconic summit. The adult course climbs 1,600 feet in less than 2 miles, while racers under the age of 12 have an early turnaround. Last summer, Max Kaufman topped the men's division with a blistering time of 27 minutes and 37 seconds. The reigning women's champion, Elena Dorabek, won in 41 and a half minutes. Organized by the city's Department of Parks, Culture, and Recreation, this year's Ballyhoo Run starts Saturday evening at 6 o'clock at the base of the mountain. Racers should arrive at 5:30 to check in. Meanwhile, Unalaska golfers can mark their calendars. KUCB's annual Tundra Golf Classic is scheduled for the first weekend in August. Tee times are now available for all Unalaskans who want to play 18 holes in Pyramid Valley. You can call 581-1888 to register your four-person team for $120. Those who are not competing for the championship trophy are still invited to come and participate in golf skills contests as well as drop-in mini golf for all ages. The Tundra Golf Classic will tee off Saturday, August 4th, rain or shine. In other sporting news, the World Eskimo Indian Olympics got underway in Fairbanks yesterday. WIO draws indigenous athletes from Alaska, Canada, and beyond with a full range of traditional sports, as well as native music and dance. As KUAC's Robin reports, Fairbanks has hosted the game for 58 years.
Setting up in the Carlson Center provides enough space for 4 days of athletics, dance, artwork, regalia, and cultural pageantry. Gina Kallak, the chair of the Board of Governors, says WIO has evolved from a small family event in 1961 into one of Fairbanks's favorite festivals.
And in growth, you have to make compromises, and sometimes things change a little bit. But that's a sign that it's healthy and that it's sustainable and that we can still be here for another, what, we're on 58 years this year.
There is a new logo this year by an Alaska Native artist, a clause about gender in published materials, explaining why traditional games sometimes include just one gender, and a change to the dancing from competition to festival, inviting groups to dance for the sheer love of it. The traditional games have not changed. The knuckle hop is still a knuckle hop, laborious and painful. The high kicks are still the high kicks, full of suspense and athleticism. And the blanket toss is still the blanket toss, a showy group effort that reminds one of the subsistence lifestyle from which the games derive.
Anything to survive has to be passed on to the next generation. And that's our whole purpose. And our mission statement is to preserve and promote the native arts and dance and athletics. You talk to anybody who comes and they'll say it's like a family reunion.
Kallak says the games always honor native elders, but this year, it's a special theme.
This year, we wanted to state the fact that we celebrate our elders, and without them, none of this would be able to be happening. They advise us, they correct us, they cheer us on, and they're the ones we've learned how to do this from.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
This week was the beginning of the end for Blockbuster in Alaska. The two remaining stores in Fairbanks and Anchorage began their inventory sales, selling off DVDs, Blu-rays, and video games. APRN's Emily Russell swung by one of the sales to ask Alaskans what Blockbuster has meant to them.
Ready?
Come on in, guys. Come on in.
People flood into the two front doors at the Anchorage Blockbuster. They grab blue plastic shopping baskets and make a beeline to the aisles of DVDs. Within minutes, Hannah Lewis's basket is filled to the brim.
I have some new releases, a couple TV shows, and an Xbox game for Legos.
Hannah is 23 years old. She's lived in Alaska her entire life. She says she's been coming to Blockbuster for as long as she can remember.
When I was a kid, we came here, I would say, every day or every couple days because we were kids, we loved movies. And now since I'm adult, I come here, me and my boyfriend would come here every other week or so to rent some movies, because sometimes you can't find the stuff on TV.
There are more and more ways to rent or stream movies, like on Netflix, Amazon, or Hulu. But a lot of people here say streaming services don't have all the options, especially when it comes to the classics. That's what brings Diane to Blockbuster.
We're here quite often for the older movies and things like that.
Diane is a self-proclaimed Blockbuster regular. She comes in a couple times a week. Right now, she's standing in the checkout line with about 20 plastic DVD cases in her hands.
Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead.
A lot of them.
Yes. No, the ones I don't already own.
Diane says she'll miss the movies, sure, but really, she says it's the employees that have made Blockbuster so special. Diane says the general manager, Kevin Damude, knows her by name.
I've known a lot of these customers since 1993.
Kevin has been working here for decades. He says breaking the news to his staff and then customers, that's been the hardest part.
It kills me to sit there and tell them, and the reaction, you know, when you see people crying, you're like, God, don't do that. Please don't do that.
Kevin hugged customers, asking how their kids were, and dodging questions about what his plans were for life after Blockbuster.
It hurts your heart because, you know, this is the end of an era, you know. You think about it, this is Blockbuster's gone in Alaska, that's it.
Inventory sales will continue at the two remaining blockbusters in Anchorage and Fairbanks through August. In Anchorage, I'm Emily Russell.
On Alaska, port customers should plan for a partial power outage tomorrow. The city is scheduled to perform electrical maintenance from 9 o'clock in the morning until 11. The outage will affect those along Ballyhoo Road from North Pacific Fuel to the Spit Dock. And that's the news from On Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.